With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, we'll circle back to Nick Caserio in the next segment. He had some interesting things to say about Derek Stingley and some of the rookies. Sounds like Stingley still working through things with the foot. We'll have that audio for you coming up in the next segment. Meanwhile, staying with GMs here, GM James Click, he's got players of his own that he's concerned with medically moving forward. Here are some updates for you. Here is James Click with the latest on starting pitcher Lance McCullers.
Lance threw a few pitches about halfway up the mound. Felt great. We've been monitoring his intensity with a pocket radar, which allows us to very steadily increase the intensity, and he continues to feel really, really good. So very positive day today.
Positive day today, but Click says no timetable on McCullers right now.
It's still very fluid. Obviously, what's next is getting up off the mound, off the rubber, continuing to add the velocity, get back up to the mid-90s to his full velocity, and then start mixing in the breaking balls and that kind of stuff. So we have a long way to go, certainly, but everything has been very, very positive so far.
They've got a whole different definition for pocket radar than I do, but that's neither here nor there.
No.
Yeah. So they can...
that we call it a pocket radar?
I guess so. Yeah. What's the pocket radar? Do they have like... does he... Lance must have a reading himself?
Yes. Yeah, I have no
idea. So he can keep an eye on it and keep track of it? So
you're the nerd. I have no clue.
I don't know.
McCullers, it sounds like things are progressing okay, Seth. I have a hard time getting moved one way or the other with him throwing off the front of a mound, and I watched the video of the session. Like it's cool. He's using a throwing motion. He's using a pitching motion. He appears to be throwing at very, very light speed right now. So no setbacks yet. But he's not anywhere close to doing something where I go, aha, Lance McCullers is back.
Yeah, I think as things are going really well, we still have to figure out things to wring our hands over. And right now, what we're all worried about is what happens 2 months from now when, in our brains, every other Astros pitcher is healthy and Odorizzi is back and all of a sudden McCullers is back and you've got eight quality starters. You've got seven quality starters available to you. That's a good problem to have, everybody.
Yes.
Because, Javier, again, though, as I will point out, because we saw it this weekend, Javier is plenty good enough to be a starter, but because now he's demonstrated this ability to go back and forth, he's screwed and will be he'll be the flex guy for no other reason that he's a younger guy and he can do it well. So Odorizzi will get his spot back. Javier will go back to being long relief. But somebody will get injured along the way, and it'll be some combination of Lance working his way back in and Javier starting at times. And then you get to the playoffs, and it's piggyback city, baby.
Yep.
Something that the Astros have done. As well as the Astros have piggybacked their starters in the playoffs, I don't get or understand when people worry about having too many starters. It's a time-tested strategy for the Astros, and it works out very, very well.
409 says, pocket radar is a radar coaches use that's the size of a cell phone. Oh,
okay.
I want one of those.
That
sounds
makes sense.
Fun. I just want to measure the speed of everything going on around me. Look how fast Lopez is walking down the hall.
Have bets about it and everything.
2.1 miles per hour. He's amazing. Here's
it's like $400 for a pocket radar.
Is that
Sean?
How much they are? You just looked it up. Can you get them on
$399 at pocketradar.com. Dix will sell you one for $400.
Is that really the website, pocketradar.com?
No, that was I misread it. Okay. But it's anywhere from it looks like entry level is $299.
Okay.
I feel like the Astros are probably using a better one than
that. I feel like I wouldn't get the usage out of it that would justify the purchase. I don't have a ton of things in my life that I need to measure the speed of right now.
If I were a baseball dad, I would have
much
pocket radar.
For sure.
My poor kid would hate me,
yep,
man.
Yeah.
I'd be the worst baseball dad. I would get so obsessed with all the baseball more so than any other sport. Hockey or football and everything, I'd be fine. But baseball, I would get the fact that you can measure so many things and refine so many things. My kid would hate me and baseball. That'd be the hard part of it. But ultimately, Sean, it would drive him to greatness. And one day, he would be Nick Saban.
Yeah, you with a son would be interesting. Would you be yell at umpire dad at the Little League events?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah,
no.
I don't think so either. I figured I'd let you answer that, but I...
No, I'm... Whenever I go to any sporting event that like a family member's in, I'm usually like sit as far away from everybody as possible because I don't like hearing parents like criticizing other kids or anything like that. I just try to stay the hell out of it.
Yeah,
it's the ugliest part of sports. I used to love sports until I started witnessing like parents watching sports.
They're the worst.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, this is really taking a fun, positive thing and turning it venomous.
I'm the same way. I used to go to my daughter's soccer games and stand way the hell down at the corner, Here is the update on outfielder Jake Myers from James Click.
Jake is playing in extended spring games. Right now he's just DHing. He's continuing to throw to bases in the outfield. We're hitting him fungos, sometimes all the way to the wall and getting them all back in. So that's how we're trying to balance rehabbing the bat and the arm at the same time, even though they're in different places in the progression. Hopefully a little bit along the way here, we'll start talking about a rehab assignment, but we're not quite there yet.
Dude, who knew that those two guys that we're talking about here, Lance McCullers and Jake Myers, both got hurt in the series against the White Sox in the playoffs. Lance, because he came back, you know, probably too soon.
Yeah.
They had been working towards a schedule where he was pitching on a certain day, and then a rainout allowed him to pitch on a different day, and he's been hurt ever since. And Jake Myers got hurt just slamming into the outfield wall Chicago.
Remember, it was at the time, it looked like it was fine because it was a day ahead of schedule, but it was with full rest. But you find out after the injury with Lance that it was like, okay, yeah, but he was set up to pitch a day later and he was already into that routine. So he ended up pitching a day closer to when he had lifted and all of that. And then in the off season, Lance still, he was being more diplomatic about it this time, but he still kind of blames the lockout potentially for some of what's going on right now because he felt like he wasn't allowed to communicate with the team, and there might have been some complications that could have been avoided if there weren't the lockout and that large chunk of non-communication for a couple months there.
Yep, absolutely. Here's the latest on starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi.
Jake's feeling really good. I'm still working on just making sure that all the soreness is gone from the tendon down there in the leg. But he threw again on flat ground today. Felt really good about how he's feeling. So we'll see how he is tomorrow over the next couple days and go from there.
Okay. Can I remind people, it was a week ago that he was being stretchered off the field, like harnessed down to a stretcher, looking like they might have to remove the leg. He was in such a heap down on the ground, and
he was shot. Okay, listen. Yeah, he felt a pop, and it was a ligament or a tendon or something that it was. And fall into the trap of when people say, "Oh, it's just a sprain." Like a sprain is a torn ACL is a sprain. Anytime you tear the ligament, that's a sprain. Yeah. So sometimes it's not a bad sprain, and sometimes it's a. But I was the fact that it was close to his Achilles, and I'm guessing he felt a pop or something. I'm okay with him freaking out that way.
To be fair, Odorizzi himself has admitted that the stretcher was a little bit much. Like that, even as he was on the stretcher, he's going, this might be a little bit of overkill. Stretcher
sometimes
here.
You're in that situation where, like, depending on what the staff decides to do. They say, okay, let's get a stretcher, and you're just sitting there, and you're the athlete. And he probably was thinking, like, oh, I guess this is what we're doing. I don't want to be a I don't want to be a pain in the ass here, so I'll follow instructions. But you could see in his face when they were strapping him into it, where he really probably felt like, all right, guys, this is overkill. But what do you do at that point? Like, do you go overly dramatic and give the thumbs
yes,
up or something?
You give a thumbs up. That's exactly what you do. You give
Who was it that was strapped down tight and gave, like, the thumbs up when he was completely immobilized?
I think it was Dennis Byrd. I think it was Mike Utley. Mike Utley, that was a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman for the Lions. Those two happened. Utley and Byrd, two kind of no-namers other than the fact that both had their spines hurt in an NFL football game. I think Utley was the one who did the thumbs up. And I don't think it was really a thumbs up situation for him either. I don't know that he ever walked again.
No, it didn't end up being.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday, 713-572-4610. Odorizzi text message. Odorizzi should get carried by a stretcher before and after every inning moving forward. That would be awesome if he came out on a stretcher and went back into the dugout on a stretcher as an homage to his injury. I'm just going to ride a stretcher everywhere I go.
Sorry, Sean. I'm busy buying a pocket radar.
Are you getting a souped up one, or are you getting the cheapest one?
Yeah, I'm going to get I've got it in the shopping cart. I can't. There's no reason for me to buy this. It was the cheap one. I mean, I'm not completely irresponsible.
People need to know your commitment to the gimmick, that you bought SpiderTac.
I've got SpiderTac in my hand.
It's in your hand. You bought
it. Look at it, Sean. It's all unblemished. I haven't touched it yet. Nobody can accuse me of anything. I almost want to leave it out and let somebody think this is like hair wax. Or pomade or something.
Like, who? Near who?
My worst enemy.
I know.
It's just pure. It's pure as a dirt. It looks like beeswax, right?
It does. It does. You know what it looks like? It looks like creme brulee.
Ooh, I don't want to eat it. The spin rate of my tongue will plummet.
It looks like creme brulee. But you have SpiderTac. You subscribe to nerd stat websites. Now you're buying pocket radars. Like, people need to know Seth Payne's commitment to stat nerd Seth and the baseball gimmick is real, and he's investing in it. Now about to invest heavily, getting a pocket radar.
No, I'm not going to do that. There's no reason for me to have this pocket.
Exactly.
Radar. I'm going to be like. Then all of a sudden, I'm going to be the who's that? Hey, who's that guy hanging out by the little leaguers?
No,
and like, I don't know who the hell he is, but keep the kids away from him,
dude. No, you need to get one and just be the annoying guy walking through the hallways around the studio here, measuring how fast people are walking, and show it to them. Like, need to speed it up. Need to speed it up. Put those snacks away. All right, Nick Caserio joined us a little bit earlier in the program, and we had a good conversation, dug into a lot of topics. I would say the big one that affects the Texans, at least in the short term here, that Texan fans are going to want to know about, is the number 3 overall pick, Derek Stingley. Scouting report on Stingley, why he made so much sense, but more than that, where is he at with his foot injury? What's so funny, nerd?
That's a nerd. So one of our listeners said that the Odorizzi should get carried by stretcher before and after every inning.
You said that.
That'd be awesome. What's that?
I just read
Did
that.
You just say,
I read that
oh,
text.
You read that?
Yes.
That was, I'm sorry. I'm totally,
you were busy buying a pocket radar. I'm not mad at you, but I don't want you to find out that I don't want someone to text in, Sean already read that text, and then you blow up on me for not telling you I already read that text.
Throwback moment for you right there. That was, I deeply apologize.
That's okay.
I'm sorry I didn't hear that.
That's okay. No.
But credit to you and the texter for understanding.
Dude, you're buying a pocket radar. I'm not angry one little bit. It's important that pocket radar, at least it's not important that you buy it. It's important that you make a decision on it. That's the important, whether or not to buy the pocket radar. All right. Nick Caserio on Derek Stingley. And where is he at with the foot injury right now? What's this going to mean for the next couple of months? That's next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you here on a Monday. Nick Caserio joined Seth and I for about 35 minutes earlier this morning. It was a good conversation, touched on a lot of things. I'm sure the guys in the loop and the afternoon guys will be touching on things with the Caserio conversation throughout the day. I would say maybe the most probably newsworthy thing would be Derek Stingley Jr. and just where is he right now physically. We asked Nick Caserio earlier this morning why Derek Stingley Jr. at number 3, and he volunteered not only his evaluation of Stingley, but also where he is medically with the foot injury right now.
At the top of the board, you know, there were certainly a handful of players that we felt comfortable with. I'd say in Derek's case, it was a productive player over the 3-year period, so played very well as a freshman, very productive against a lot of good people. 2020, COVID really affected everybody just in terms of games played and overall availability standpoint. And then 2021, I'd say from Derek's standpoint, you know, it was a little bit stop and start. I mean, really, he played 3 or 4 games there with the foot, and he wasn't even really healthy. So, I mean, it kind of speaks to his competitiveness and his toughness. And then, you know, when he was able to get out there in the spring and actually test and show that he's at least making some progress, I'd say he definitely still has some work to do just in terms of being ready to go for camp. But, you know, 6 foot, 190 pounds, good size, good length, runs well. Plays the ball well for a defensive back. I think one of the things that you try to track and study as best you can, especially with corners, is their ability to play the football down the field when they're in phase or even if they're out of phase. I'd say some corners certainly play the ball better than others. It's a skill. Some guys are a little more natural than others.
All right, so that a little bit of evaluation there, but the key part was in the middle that he is, quote, still working through some things with the foot, Seth. Derek Stingley right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a great thing to hear, and I guess I wanted to almost say like we should have anticipated that, but I don't think we should have because it was
it's a number three overall pick, you know.
Yeah, and that look, the pro day was supposed to be an indication that hey, everything's good and on track, and I'm fine. And maybe we just assumed too much and assumed that that meant, oh, okay, he's pretty much good to go, right? I get nervous because we've seen this with Kevin Johnson, that foot injuries are not simple things to come back from. You got all those bones in your feet, and they all work with each other or against each other if things aren't right. Sometimes you guys have to get screws removed or put back in. It can get complex. So I get nervous about it. I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I just have a knee-jerk nervousness about foot injuries, especially when I hear about whether – I don't know if this would technically be a complication or a delay, but it's extending on into the next offseason.
Yeah, I guess the best-case scenario – I'll point out he did run a 4.37 at his pro day. So it's not as though he, you know, it's not like he was Drake London and just didn't run because of the injury. You know, he did run and he ran well. He himself in an interview, I think I saw with James Palmer at Stingley's pro day, said, I probably could have done better, you know, and so that's an indicator there that he's maybe not back to 100%. I think the best case scenario here, Seth, is that the doctors took a look at it, said, yeah, this is something that's going to heal. It's normal for this type of injury. This is where he's at right now. They can't control the calendar. You know, here's where he is. It's safe to draft him, but we have to, and obviously as media members, this becomes top of list of something that we're watching now at minicamp and OTAs is what exactly is Derek Stingley's participation? What does it entail? And because Caserio went on to say that different guys would be on different schedules, made a point to say, don't read too much into it. It's nothing to be super alarmed. He did, you know, I think kind of try to quell whatever, you know, whatever angst people would feel over this whole thing. But I think the best case scenario is that, okay, this is the timeline we knew was going to play out. And, you know, hopefully what Nick was sharing with us today is something that sets an expectation level for Derek Stingley. Honestly, as long as he's ready for training camp, especially get ready for the season, but as a rookie, training camp would be, you know, if someone could tell me you can sign right now, he'll be ready for training. He's going to be very limited during OTAs and minicamp, but he'll be ready for training. Okay, sign. I'll sign right here. Fine.
When it gets interesting is if there's still issues going on into the regular season, obviously.
Yeah.
People are not going to be happy about that, with good reason. And then especially, let's see, the Jets, who are the team that took Sauce Gardner immediately after the Texans. They open up with the Ravens. Then the Browns. So Sauce Gardner going versus Jacoby Brissett potentially if Deshaun Watson is suspended by then. How does Sauce Gardner start off the season? Is he starting? Is he looking like that guy? Then, yeah, it'll be, you know what it'll feel like, Sean? The first year of Mario Williams when Vince Young got off to an early lead in that whole, hey, Mario Williams, Vince Young, Reggie Bush, who are the Texans going to take? Vince Young got off to an early, early lead in that, and Mario Williams was plagued by plantar fasciitis the whole season.
Yep.
After the rookie year, a lot of people really thought that the Texans, like they still thought the Texans had gotten worked over in that. It wasn't until a few years down the line that people started to concede that, oh, okay, yeah, Mario Williams actually was the better pick.
Yeah, the game people will start to play, if the scenario you point out, that this lingers into the regular season, I'm going to tell you the other person that's going to get swept up in this, Seth, if Stingley is still banged up during the regular season, and we're reading so far ahead right now. I mean, Nick had two quotes on our show today, but I think it's that the foot is still something they're working through is a valid reason to at least have it on your radar to be concerned. This is, you know who else is going to get swept up in this is Kenyon Green, because Texan fans will start to look at things like, okay, well, if you just taken Ekwonu at 3 and then stayed at 13 and taken Jordan Davis or Kyle Hamilton, you know what,
yeah,
I mean? They're having those two first round picks, and then, you know, if Kenyon Green plays well, then so be it. You know, then he's going to be fine. But those two picks, you know, they're both risky decisions in the court of public perception because of Stingley's injury at 3 and the fact that you maneuvered back a little bit from 13 to 15, and you maneuvered back where two of the prominent defensive players in this draft were both taken 13 and 14, right where you traded out of, and then you took an interior offensive lineman higher than a lot of teams would normally take an interior offensive lineman. Look, if Stingley and Kenyon Green both work out and they're both good players and they're both players worthy of being brought back on a second contract, then no harm, no foul, you know, unless Kyle Hamilton becomes a Hall of Famer or something like that. But we've got our first little dosage, I would say, heading into minicamp and OTAs here of, oh, intrigue. See how Derek Stingley, old number 24 in your programs, number one in your heart. Let's see how he's handled.
Yeah. I don't feel good about it. I have a hard time like getting overly worked up about it, just because this is the kind of stuff that you should be doing during rookie mini camps or OTAs or what have you, is taking your time coming back from injuries. It shouldn't be something. I guess I should say it shouldn't be a surprise that somebody is still working through an injury in May, because, look, lots of times things take 6-9 months to really get over, and then to actually be completely a full go in football, that's the way it goes. It's just it's like buying a vehicle and finding out that you got to take it back to the shop like 3 days into it. You're so excited. To just get it out on the road, and then as soon as you get out on the highway, you're like, oh, it's wobbling a bit. Back to the dealership I go.
Yeah, that's not fun. It was a big investment. They invested big in Derek Stingley Jr. with that third overall pick. I mean, just got to imagine if they thought it was something that was going to be a severe risk, they just wouldn't have taken the guy with the third overall pick, you know?
You know what I don't like these days, Sean? If I buy something and the batteries aren't fully charged when I get it. Like if I gotta charge the batteries for 12 hours before I can use it, I feel like it's a bit of a buzzkill.
You're supposed to do that, too. You're not supposed to just pull something out of the box and start using it right away, aren't you?
Well, no, but a lot of products now come like basically fully charged.
Yeah.
So that's where, yeah. So No, you're not supposed to do it if you're not supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But some products, you don't. It doesn't matter. They say, yeah, go ahead, use it. By all means, be our guest. Or charge it to top it off for a little bit. But
we
no.
sound so soft today.
I don't care.
You with your battery charging, and then we're complaining about Pena batting ninth earlier in the show. And
that's a valid concern. Yeah. We're keeping our edge. You know,
you can't.
You don't just don't be one of these people who says, "Oh, that's a first world problem." Yeah, they're damn right. I live a first world life,
and I live in the first world. Yeah, thank you.
I spend first world dollars. If I were spending third world dollars and expecting a first world product, then by all means, criticize me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Nick Caserio on Tom Brady becoming a color analyst. How does he think Tom Brady's going to do at Fox? We asked the Texans GM that earlier this morning. You'll hear it next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Nick Caserio joined us a couple of hours ago, Texans GM. Of course, he spent a couple decades with Tom Brady up in New England. We asked Caserio, are you surprised that Tom Brady is moving on to television once he hangs up the cleats?
Yeah. I don't think anything that Tom does surprises anybody. So I think whatever Tom puts his mind to, he's going to be really good at. I think that's been the history of his career. To make it, 22, 23 years, whatever it is. We're never going to see it again. Like, I'm not trying to go on a limb here, but I think the amount of time and energy and effort that Tom puts into his craft is immense and it's massive. And my suspicion is he'll put the same amount of energy into trying to be as good at that job as he is as his job, as a Hall of Fame quarterback. So, certainly not going to put anything past Tom, that's for sure.
All right, so and Caserio went on to tell an anecdote. It was kind of a long anecdote, but it was a good one, Seth, where he used it almost as a lesson to college kids, it sounded like, kind of dovetailing off of something he had said earlier about NIL when we asked him about it. Like, that some players he talks to, including ones that the Texans actually drafted, he didn't say exactly who, but they said, I didn't do any of the NIL because I figured if I focused on being the best football player I could be, then opportunities like that would be available to me because I'll get drafted higher and things like that. Yeah. And he said sort of the same thing about Brady as a rookie where he, and not just as a rookie, the anecdote was about a rookie, but I think Brady's kind of handled his business that way throughout his career where he didn't wind up with a crypto commercial at age 44 because that was his goal, was to get a crypto commercial. Everything that he's gotten has been the result of how hard he's worked at being the best football player in the world.
Well, and or doing things in that, like being really good that one specific day or being the best scout team quarterback.
Yeah.
And focusing on that stuff more so than the ultimate rewards. So but along the way, Brady has also cashed in, and did his rookie year. We cashed in on a lot of benefits, after his second year, cashed in a lot of the benefits of being a notable athlete. So I think that what any scout is ever going to look at, including if they're looking at, you know, current professional athletes, not just college prospects, is, okay, how well do they handle it? Okay, yeah, they're getting paid to get endorsements. That's fine. But are they obsessed with that side of it to the point where they're not so focused on football? And I think that the NIL might end up being a really helpful tool for a lot of personnel people, because they'll be able to see the guys who do handle it well.
Yes.
And say, oh, okay, yeah, look, this guy made $2 million as a college kid, and it didn't knock him off track one bit. Yeah, I feel better about giving him more money as a pro, as opposed to guys that have never had anything and then all of a sudden have everything. There's just, you have no track record to see how they're going to handle it.
I think the NIL is a super relevant data point to what the Texans are looking for in guys. It's very clear they're looking for culture guys, guys who have been good teammates, been loyal to programs, things like that. I don't think it's any accident that when we asked Nick Caserio about NIL earlier today and asked, is that part of the evaluation, that he proactively brought up Jordan Addison's name, the wide receiver that just left Pitt to go to USC because he reportedly has a seven-figure NIL package waiting for him. And I don't know that Caserio necessarily begrudges Addison for transferring to USC necessarily, but it has escalated Addison's profile to where they are going to monitor how he handled his transfer. You know, how upfront was he? Because there are reports that he was already on his way to USC before his name was even in the portal.
Yeah.
Did he allow teams to tamper with him? How did he respond to that? How does he handle the money? All of those things.
The NIL stuff's interesting, too, because it's a whole different set of challenges. In a lot of ways, a lot tougher than it is for professional athletes, where, for one, really only a select few football players get really lucrative endorsement deals. There aren't that many really lucrative deals for pro football players out there. So they don't have to manage as much, I don't think. A pro football player doesn't have to manage as much. And by the way, the pro football player isn't also trying to go to college at the same time, like most of these kids in theory are doing.
In theory.
He's going to taking classes and everything. So I think the college kids, where they're the numbers that you're seeing thrown out there, sometimes I'm guessing come from quite a few sponsors. And I'll tell you, just from having sponsors as an adult with a radio show, which is a pretty low intensity job, it's still like there's 10 different entities that I want to be sure are happy all the time and that I'm doing a good job for, in addition to my core job, which is just doing a radio show. To play college football and go to school while also potentially keeping 10 different NIL sponsors happy, that might be kind of overwhelming to some of these guys. So if they can balance it, then yeah, I actually think it's a feather in their cap.
Yeah.
But then for other guys, it is going to be, it's going to be that dreaded distraction that football people hate so much.
I need to sit down and think about this today. Like, if I were a scout for the Texans, or if I were Nick Caserio, what questions would I be asking a college prospect, an NFL prospect who's in college, about NIL? You know, because you just brought up something interesting there. You know, it's one thing if they're juggling actual responsibilities that an endorser has versus they're just basically getting paid a salary.
That's what a lot of it is, right? Yeah. They're getting paid an amount to do some autograph signings. You know one dynamic of this that I hadn't thought of, Sean? Now that these kids are getting paid, really, it's going to be bloated money that's not, doesn't actually have a return on investment for doing some of these autograph signings. When you're a rookie, it used to be kind of cool, like if you're not a first-round type guy or something, it used to be kind of cool that all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to get $500 to an autograph signing.
Yeah.
Now these kids are going to be like, $500? I don't roll out of bed for $500. What the hell are you talking
about? It's funny, though, Seth, because the running joke has always been, oh, so-and-so is taking a pay cut to go from, I don't know, Alabama to the NFL. You know, and I'm not picking on Alabama. I'm just throwing it out there hypothetically. So-and-so took a pay cut, which I think is kind of ludicrous given where salaries are in the NFL these days. It's a funny little line, but ha ha ha. When it comes to the extra stuff, yeah, John Metchie probably is going to make more signing at a dealership in Tuscaloosa than he is in Houston right now.
for what, yeah,
for an afternoon.
Some of these schools are playing. You know, and some of them will actually make more on their NIL deals, since a lot of marquee college players just don't end up being good pros.
That's right.
Some of the marquee guys that don't go until the third or fourth round, yeah, might definitely make more money on their NIL deals than they do as a salary in the NFL, which might mean, and one of our listeners brought this up earlier, as much as people are worried about the destruction of college football because of NIL, maybe some guys will start staying in longer if the money's that lucrative. If this holds up, which I honestly, it doesn't feel like it's possible that it could hold up at this level, but if it does, because I don't know if I would have said that it would be ever get to this level before, but if it does hold up at this level, then, yeah, maybe more kids will say, like, all right, look, I'm going to go out and get drafted into the third round, or I'll stick around and make another million or two off of NIL. Yeah, that's it might be good for college football.
Let's get one in here. Let's get a call in here before John Lopez and Landry Locker jump in with us, find out what they got going on the show. Bobby's in Midland listening. I would presume on the Odyssey app. Bobby, how you doing?
Doing very well, and you would be correct.
Nice.
I appreciate you guys letting me pop on. Yeah,
for sure.
One of the best inventions, especially for those that don't have a whole lot to do up here in Midland besides this black liquid that comes out of the ground.
There you go. Hey, and listen to this show. Appreciate it, man.
It's part of my daily routine. Hey, I do want to follow up. So before the draft, and don't worry, you don't need to put your finger on the drop button again. And so before the draft, I was really nervous because we always try to do something try to outsmart ourselves from the league. Oh, we'll try to prove to you how smart the Texans are. And so I had absolutely zero faith that we would get this thing right, just because history has shown that we usually don't. After the draft, I wanted to wait a little bit, really marinate in it. And you know what? I do. I believe that we did everything that we could. I'm a little nervous about the first pick just because history has shown that usually doesn't work out well for us. So going from 0% invested to I'm pretty invested in the Texans now. I do trust that they at least know what they're doing. Now, am I ready to watch my quarterback get his hair cut on the local news station? No, I'm not that bought in yet. But I do kind of understand that, okay, we have a plan. We're going to follow this plan. And maybe I was wrong about Nick. I know that's bitter, and that hurts to me actually to say that.
Why does it hurt to say that? He's the general manager of your team.
I know, but whenever they hired him, I literally, like, probably half of the city was banging my head against the wall going, yeah. Oh, no, not this.
You know what?
And frankly, is
part of it that it was really hard for us to separate the whole New England South dynamic from it, where now it feels like Casario is enough of his own person that I don't have that fear anymore. Like, I'm evaluating him as Nick Casario more so than this constant, like, oh, no, they're just trying to be like New England.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Because, yeah, whenever they were hired, I was like the grumpy dude up in the balcony of the Muppets, just arms folded and going like, I ain't coming like that. But you're right. And now I'm watching him, and he is. He's turning into that, and I really think he's making this team his team. This isn't just a copycat. And so I think what happened with Nick is we immediately signed Burkhead and, you know, a few of these New England players. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And now I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, he's making the Texans. He is making this in what he believes is going to be a good, solid team. Maybe not this year, but I do believe that the year after that, we should be competitive and no longer being considered with the Jets, the Lions, the Jaguars. I mean, I think Cleveland has even out-reputationed us. They're a lot better run program than what we've become. But I do find myself believing that he knows what he's doing.
Nice. Bobby, we appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you.
See you, fellas.
All right, take it easy. Bobby, did Bobby curse last time he was on with us?
He must have, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, because he said Ben doesn't need to keep his finger on the dump button. I think I remember that, yeah. Did you have something you wanted to hit?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah, John Lopez, Landry Locker in studio with us here, getting ready for In the Loop. John?
Yes.
So close.
My gosh, what
so
a fun weekend.
So close.
What a fun weekend. There's only one thing that could have made it better, but for those who weren't listening, Wednesday I laid out why I thought Will Zalatoris would be a good
long shot
bet on the PGA Championship. Landry said he wasn't going to make the cut. Take that, Landry Locker.
Mm.
He was leading. Yeah, you did.
I don't think I said that.
I think you did.
Don't. Think so.
All right, we got to go look at the tape.
Go to the tape.
Yeah.
He was leading or second place from the first hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you were in it all weekend.
Man. Lost it on the 75th hole of a 72-hole tournament. And my house was going nuts.
Yeah.
That just so happened we had our Sunday dinner we occasionally have with all the kids and everything. And it was a blast.
Have you checked on Figgy? You were going to pay for Figgy to go to Vegas if you won this bet. Have you checked on him?
There was some casualties along the way. I can just picture, and I want to ask him about this because I want to get all the details. I can just picture Figgy watching golf for the first time with his wife and what was going on in that home. Like, probably what is he doing? Is that
Figgy
good?
Figgy watched more golf on Sunday than he's watched in his entire life.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
It was an absolute blast.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm sorry it didn't work out, but you got a lot of fun out of it.
It was worth every penny.
By the way, real quick, I know you said it was a bad beat.
Yeah.
Bad beat is the dude who double bogeyed 18. That's the bad. But like a bad beat is when you're supposed to win and you yank defeat from the jaws of victory. You just lost. You know, like that was a beat. But the bad beat was that poor bastard that double bogeyed 18.
I would. This sounds so counterintuitive, but I would make that bet again.
Of course.
I mean, I laid it out. He came
one
through.
Shot. Yeah.
And the entertainment value alone was unbelievable.
Could you have hedged?
I could have.
I texted because I saw it heading into the playoff. I think Thomas was like -140. So I think you could have had a strong hedge.
You could have hedged like probably after the first shot of the playoff. Dallas Horse had a better drive on 13 than Thomas.
Sean was texting me, Landry, and I was in line to win $3,500 for those who don't know on a $100 bet.
Yep.
So I said, I'm riding this sucker.
Yeah, yeah. I respect that.
I'm riding this sucker all the way. And my hedge would have probably been a Mito.
Yeah.
That's the smart hedge.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, bet a grand on him to get something out of it, and I would have lost
and
everything.
JT wins.
And I would have lost everything.
You would have lost it all. You would have lost it all. Did you guys get to hear Nicholas Caserio with us?
We did.
Today?
We did.
What did you think?
I love listening to Nick. He went a little harder with the rookies. Again, I don't think he liked the Mark Ingram comparison, but
It wasn't even like a play on the field comparison. It was more personalities. He doesn't even want Damian Pierce to have a Mark Ingram type personality.
Yeah, he's definitely got the hardo side. I liked the NIL thing. I thought he was pretty good on that. Also, you know, it seems like there might be a little bit of a process with Stingley that maybe we'll get into. But, yeah, I enjoyed hearing Nick.
You guys nervous about Stingley? I think
nah.
Seth's a little bit nervous about Stingley right now, I think.
Not nervous, but I thought that was the best takeaway from his commentary. Mm-hmm. We should not probably expect Stingley to come in and just take hold of the position.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't even know how much he'll be practicing we'll see over the next few weeks, I suppose, as OTAs kick into gear.
Yep.
Starts today.
Gets cracking today, so that should be good. What else you got going on the show today, please?
Obviously, we're going to get into Caserio, what he teased. We're going to try to figure out what's going on in Indianapolis. Is there like a potential lot of drama going on there? We'll talk to our guy, Kevin Bowen. Matt Ryan might have the most pressure on him of any quarterback now with some things that they've done in Indianapolis.
Jim Irsay's a maniac. Let's start with that.
There's already that, and then they're doing some other things that are weird, so we'll try to get to the bottom of that. There's a few things to look at when it comes to the Astros, about 25% through the season, that we'll dive into as well. And my God, it's going to be an awkward night tomorrow for Deshaun Watson. Good Lord.
Ooh, yeah, HBO. Yeah, if you don't have your HBO subscription updated, HBO Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. Yeah, Rusty, that was a good interview that Mary Kay Cabot got with Rusty Harden.
It's a great interview, and I want to dig into that as well.
Good deal. All right, so there it is. Text message, Seth, 832-421. I want to see two things. Odorizzi stretcher bobblehead night and Seth behind home plate of the Yankees series with a pocket radar and spider tack. taunting Garrett Cole.
Oh,
gonna make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe down in the down by the bullpen. My own little Kermit the Frog deal.
Odorizzi stretcher bobblehead night.
And yeah, we do have to. We got to. I'm glad Landry brought that up about the Colts. The fact that Nick Foles is headed in.
Oh yeah,
another Frank Reich reclamation.
Oh,
project.
Oh my God,
let's do this. Brutal. I'm excited.
Brutal. All right, we're done. We are out of time. In the Loop is up next. Thank you everybody for tuning in. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, there next. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend?
Antibodies and rampant player comparisons. I don't care. You got them. Say them.
And pocket radar. Pocket radar for everybody.
Damian Pierce is the next Walter Payton, and you can't convince me otherwise.
That's it. We're done. We're back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, I'm not going to be mad at you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.